It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning, the day after the big showdown. As
number one,
we roll along. We will have a little open phone time coming up in the final segment this morning.
Yeah, everybody seems to be talking about this debate last night. I'm trying to watch the Orioles game, and the debate just interrupted
it.
I don't know what's going on.
That's no good.
So we want to welcome Dr. Michael Berkman from Penn State in studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Nice. Thanks for coming in.
We love being able to see people.
All right. We've had you on the phone several times. So when you said, yeah, I want to come into the studio, we thought, okay, he's crazy. But no, that's perfectly fine.
Well, nice to meet you guys at least once.
All right. Now, for folks who haven't heard, you know, we've been doing this for a year now. We've been talking to you since last fall. Let's start with an intro again. Tell us about yourself. You teach at Penn State. What do you teach? What do you handle over there?
Yes, I teach American politics in the political science department, and I direct something called the McCourney Institute for Democracy. And I teach in American politics. In fact, this year I have a class on campaigns and elections, so a lot to talk about the 2024 election in there.
Did you assign, this was my pet question, did you assign the debate last night somehow?
I wouldn't say that we assigned it, but we have definitely spent time on it. So we talked on Tuesday about what students hoped that they would hear in the debate, and I'm sure tomorrow we're going to talk about whether or not they heard what they wanted to.
I thought they'd have to do a term paper or something.
Nah.
No?
maybe another time.
I thought for sure that they...
Well, first of all, I had to know they were going to have a debate when I was writing the syllabus, so I got to go with what you knew.
True enough. Genuinely curious, what were they... Was there a few consensus items that they were hoping to hear going in? And I'll be curious to hear, maybe we'll get you on sometime in the next couple of weeks just to hear what their takeaways were.
Yeah, well, it was a little scattered, but I think, like we're seeing in the public polling, there were a lot of questions about what Harris really stood for, what she believed in, whether or not she was going to flesh out her policy agenda, whether she would appear presidential, whether she would stand up to Trump, that kind of thing. And then with Trump, there were questions more, not really about policy. Everybody knows where Donald Trump stands, but how he would behave, whether or not he would show presidential sort of behavior or not.
So,
and we'll see what they thought.
So the kids you work with, they're political science majors, or can anybody take your class?
Most of the class is made up of either political science majors or students that are double majoring in various College of Communications majors. But the course does have a prerequisite in the political science department, so not anybody can take it. You need to have some background in political science.
So I was back in the day, I was a college, not Penn State, but I was a communications major. So I could take your class.
Well, because a lot of communications majors have taken our prerequisite class, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Many of them take Intro to American Politics.
All right.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I would be curious. Maybe send, all right, we've been emailing back and forth.
I'll let you know what they
said. Send me just a blurb on, I guess your next set of classes is tomorrow or something.
Tomorrow we'll talk about it.
What were reactions to last night from, you know, Gen Z? We keep calling them Gen Z, teenagers, people in their 20s and
those
so on.
Those crazy kids.
And did they see it the same way maybe that older people saw?
Well,
I'd be curious to know that. All right, let's just start with a general reaction. You watched it, I'm assuming, last night. What'd you think?
Well, I thought that the debate offered a lot more potential for Kamala Harris than it really did for Donald Trump. She had a lot of work to do, I think, to sketch out who she is and what she stands for. And I thought she did a pretty good job doing that last night. I thought that she really also got under Donald Trump's skin and that she had an understanding about how to do that. She had a plan and she executed it. And I don't know if you want to debate a prosecutor. They're tough.
Okay.
At least she was.
But now we're going to throw out opinions and go in all different directions and so on. Because I've seen too many interviews with her where she's all over the place. You know, it's just word salads and all this sort of stuff. So going into last night, I thought, okay, she can't possibly do that again. And she didn't. I thought she was very much more disciplined last night than in just basic interviews and things that she's done. So were you surprised by her performance?
I wasn't surprised, but I was impressed. I think that she has shown a lot of growth in office, and that's sometimes underappreciated. that you go back to the 2019 debates, the 2019 campaign, which was a very different country was in a very different place then, and she was running a very different kind of campaign, and she performed quite poorly. And then there were some pretty bad interviews when she was starting out as vice president. But over time, you know, she's traveled the world. She's done a lot of interviews. She's talked to a lot of people. I think it's not unreasonable to believe that she has learned and gotten better at this. And I think last night she showed a lot of skill. I mean, can you think of a debate performance quite like that? I really can't.
Well, I think her opponent helped her, so to speak.
Well, and I think she knew her opponent.
Yes.
So she helped her opponent help her from early
okay,
on.
All right. That's one way to put it.
It seemed like from early on she was sort of jabbing at him with issues and topics that she just knew he was going to respond to. So he kept on starting his answers by responding to these sort of, you know, crowd sizes or how much money his father gave him when he was starting out in business, or, you know, a variety of other kinds of digs like that, that she knew he was going to have to respond to and take him away from places where, you know, I think he could have had a much more successful debate. I thought his closing statement, for example, should have been his opening.
And if yeah, just sort of I would agree with
driven
you there.
That through the whole debate, I think yep. he would have really had a debate. And my sense was that's what he was supposed to do. And she threw him off so quickly with the crack about his rally sizes that he just never got there until the very end, at which point, you know, it was a little late.
Okay.
Who was still watching? Now, the audience has diminished.
She, I guess, was in Pittsburgh for a week preparing for this thing in Pittsburgh. Again, this was in Philadelphia last night, if you mm-hmm. you know didn't check it out. I'm wondering if Donald Trump prepared at all. He just seemed to kind of show up on stage like he normally does and just started talking. From your observation, I don't think he prepared at all. He just showed up like he did in late June, figured, okay, I'm going to win.
Different opponent, so bad strategy if that's the case. And from everything I've read, he was working with Matt Gaetz and Tulsi Gabbard and some others to work. They didn't call it debate prep, but they called it like policy discussions or something. So they were clearly practicing lines. And how seriously he took that, I'm not sure. And whether they adequately prepped him for what she was going to throw at him, I'm not sure they did that either. I think they probably underestimated her. They kept calling her stupid leading up to it.
And I think he used the word stupid several times last night
in
rambling comments. You know, just that it just seemed like a Donald Trump rambling rally speech, debate style, which it isn't.
Well, and there's no crowd. I mean, Donald Trump is a brilliant entertainer. And you know, put him in front of a crowd, and he just knows how to play it. And he knows certain lines I could go into, I'm going to get a great response back. That great response energizes him. It picks him up. But there was no crowd. He's not playing anybody. And so things kind of fall flat when he tried those rally lines. Excuse me.
From a – did we, the general public, mm-hmm. learn anything of substance about either and how they would govern? Again, we kind of know with Donald Trump we have what Kamala Harris has done, her record, and what she has said prior to this summer, and then we have the seemingly 180-degree shift on about 70-80% of her policies and what she says she's going to do moving forward. Did we learn anything, do you think, substantively when it comes to policies?
Well, I don't know how much more we had to learn about Donald Trump. He's been in the public eye for a long time. He's saying basically the same things, talking about immigration. And I don't know if I learned anything about what he would do differently.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what he would do on various abortion bills that might be put in front of him if he were the president. With Kamala Harris, I guess we're going to find out. I mean, clearly the American public thought that they did not have a clear sense of where she stood. And the Trump campaign's been effective, I think, in exactly the kinds of issues that you're talking about. You know, the fracking, the change in a position on fracking, on embracing, I guess it was, Bernie Sanders' health plan at the time. But, you know, primaries are different things in general elections. And she was doing what anybody in a primary does, which is trying to find her niche. She was doing it in a much more liberal environment than I think we're in right now. It was right after the Black Lives Matter protests. It was a different feel in the country, I think, at the time when she was trying to find her place. Frankly, I think she's probably more where she really is now than she was in 2019. And I think she's trying to tell us that with this kind of awkward line about how her values haven't really changed, even if. But I actually always understood her to be a somewhat down-the-middle prosecutor. I don't really think of them as the most progressive people in politics. So I think she's probably more comfortable where she is now than where she was trying to be in 2019.
Her voting record has been pretty progressive, like more liberal than anybody we've ever had run for president, and not even close.
You mean in terms of the kinds of issues,
policies, the votes that she's taken,
the impact
that it's had on the country.
Well, she went along with the position of her administration. I mean,
for sure,
that's part of what being vice president is. I mean, when you're vice president, you're not really in a position to say that you don't agree with the policies of the president. And so she has had to adopt all of the Biden positions. And, you know, if one of her goals was to kind of shift away on certain issues from Biden, I'm not really sure she did it. I believe the way she wants to frame the argument is that she's introducing generational change, not necessarily any particular policy change.
Yeah.
Will that fly? I guess we'll find out in the weeks to come. Yeah.
Let me go to conspiracy theory land. It's one of my favorite theme parks.
I know that.
Conspiracy theory land. Joe Biden has not been in control the last 3 years. Somebody else has, and he's the front man. Now, this is Scott. I've had that opinion from the 2020 election, that he hasn't been in charge. He's been the nice Uncle Joe front man, and somebody else has been pulling the strings, which could be Harris or could be somebody else. She has to be tied to those policies of the last 3.5 years. She's trying to get away from it, a new direction or whatever she's talking about, okay? Mm-hmm. What's your thought on that opinion?
Well, I think it's always hard for vice presidents to pull away from the president. And so that's a challenge for any vice president that's then running for president themselves, as they try to sort of chart their own identity when they have been tied up in the identity of the president. This idea that Biden hasn't been in charge, I mean, personally, I haven't read anything on inside stories about how the White House operates to suggest that's true. I hear it, but I don't know where it's coming from, other than an impression that the guy who couldn't perform at the debate can't make decisions in the Oval Office. And I'm not sure I see that. For example, I look at something like the coalition that he brought together after the Iranian attack on Israel. What was this, maybe 8 months ago or 7 months ago, where he pulled together a whole range of countries. Or maybe he didn't. Maybe just Blinken did it. But he's the president, so he had to be in some way supervising what was going over there. Now, could I be persuaded otherwise? Sure. But I haven't seen anything like that. Maybe the insider books will come out in 2 years, and
yes,
I'll come back and I'll say you were right all along. But so far, I've seen nothing on that. So absent evidence, I don't tend to.
I mean, let's turn the clock back. Now, we've had you on several times. When they announced the debate schedule in, what was it, April, and they announced a late June debate, I immediately said, no, hold on. There's never been a late June debate between, you know, two people who weren't official yet as of late June, meaning their party conventions hadn't taken place yet. I saw that as a setup to dump the old guy and bring on somebody new before the convention took place. And I think that debate was a setup. And I think I nailed that one because I think it was a setup. But it was the Biden campaign who set up that schedule. And I'm thinking, no, wait a minute, you set up your own guy? That's why I think he hasn't been in charge for the last 3 years.
But you're assuming he didn't want to do that debate. From what I'd heard, he did want to do that debate.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
He's the one who put it on his staff. I want to do this debate. Look, Joe Biden's entire argument going into this second term campaign was only I can beat Donald Trump. He believed that he was the only person that could do it. And so he thought, put me on the stage with him. I'll crush them. I'll crush them early, and we'll take care of this thing. I think from what I've read, some of his staff, or this might not be the best idea to do this right now, and maybe we shouldn't debate at all. And I know there are people on his staff who believe that you shouldn't debate Donald Trump at all. So I don't know if it was a setup. It was pretty cold and pretty calculating, but it could be. I think Biden had an inflated sense of his own capacities.
I'll agree with that one.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is it's mid-September. The next term doesn't start till mid-January. That's October. I'm using my fingers. October. That's 4 months.
Right.
He's still in charge for the next 4 months, which makes some of us a little nervous.
I know, but they're different jobs. I mean, running for president and being president are different jobs. And I would say that part of the job of a president should be the ability to communicate clearly, and that in that part of the job, he's not doing a great job. But other aspects of the job really have nothing to do with your, you know, abilities on the campaign trail or how well you can debate. It's decision making, and it's the kind of team that you pull together to make decisions. So I see them differently. I think there's no reason to believe, again, that I've heard that he's not capable of doing the job until January. But I don't think there was any doubt and that he was not capable of doing the job of candidate.
Okay. Before we take a break.
And last night was the proof of that, because she debated in a way he never could.
Yeah. She won.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's anybody out there that somehow thinks Donald Trump won that debate last night, I really would look at them like, seriously?
Yeah.
What were you smoking or drinking last night? I don't think that's the case.